is so great a God as our God. Thou art the God that dost wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people.
Who is like unto the Lord Most High, who filled the seas and formed the skies, who walks upon the wings of the wind, whose thoughts no
people for his own. One way he has ordained a covering for sinners' shame. The sacrifice must pay, for only blood atones. Only one left his throne, only one begotten Son. Only one spotless lamb could sacrifice. Only one power can save. Only one empty grave. Only one narrow way, Jesus Christ. Soul is lost and judgment comes. For by one man who sinned, death entered in the world. But God so loved the world, he gave to us his only Son. The sacrifice to pay and death to overcome. Throne, only one begotten Son, only one spotless lamb could sacrifice, only one power can save, only one empty grave, only one narrow way, Jesus Christ. Truth I'm resting on, one life he gave for all, Christ the Lord. One faith in Christ alone, one truth I'm resting on, one life he gave for all, Christ the Lord.
name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me what my Father hath in store for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, he'll sunshine all the way. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the greatest, that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his rags as he shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempest's power is broken. When Jesus comes, all tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. So men today have found the Savior able. They could not conquer passion, lust, and sin. Their broken hearts had left them sad and lonely. Then Jesus came and dwelt himself within. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, all tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. Mary had a baby in that good news. Mary had a baby in that good news. Mary had a baby, he is the King of glory. Mary had a baby in that good news. He will die to save us in that good news. He will die to save us in that good news. He will die to save us. Honor the name of Jesus. He will die to save us in that good news. Who is the baby? Who is the babe of Bethlehem? He is the Savior. He comes to die for every man. He is called King Jesus, Everlasting Father, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Gentle Shepherd, Loving Prince of Peace. Mary had a baby in that good news. Christ is soon returning, ain't that good news? Christ is soon returning, ain't that good news? Christ is soon returning, oh how my heart is yearning. Christ is soon returning, that's good news. Who is the baby? Who is the babe of Bethlehem? He is the Savior, he comes to die for every man. Mary had a baby, Jesus died to save us. He is soon returning, and that good news.
All right, amen. That is good news. The good news of the gospel, that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, that he lived a perfect and sinless life and died on the cross for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. And through him we have life, and we have it more abundantly. That's why he came. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. Amen. That is the promise of the gospel. And we thank God for God's promises. So, interesting Friday here. First, I'll say hello to everyone who's on here. Let's see. Colin Anderson was first. Carl Winters. Joe McDonald. Andrea Bales. Elijah Morgan. Traveling through. Parts unknown. Like Carl. Kayla. Mary Teresa. America Montes said Docia. I don't know, something like that. Whatever. Rachel's on here. Take a while to get people on here. Ryan Wodziak. Brother Brandon, hope you're doing well. Lots of folks coming on here, so we'll give them all a chance to get there. And you know, I was thinking about this thing of Days of Noah. And I often go back to that if you... And I think it's because it never ends. Let's... Back in 2019, a year ago, monkey-man hybrids, three parents, DNA, genetics, Days of Noah. I talked about it there. Way back in 2015, unthankful creation, fallen angels, giants, Days of Noah, hybrids. And then the original series was the Sons of God series, Genesis 6 Sons of God series that you find there. I redid that series, I think, in 2015. Yeah, here it is. And we just added more to it here, the giants the other day, and giant things, and... We'll add more as time goes by, but the theme of the Days of Noah, you know, it comes back to us here as being important, because in Matthew chapter 24. We go back here and we start to find out some things that God tells us. He says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days they were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage till the day that Noah entered the ark. and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. But he talks about the things that are happening during that time, the tribulation of those days that take place, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and great signs and wonders shall be happening. And the flood and the things that happened in the flood, the way the world was changing it all of a sudden. I mean, they didn't see it until it was too late. But what we see is, when we go back to Genesis chapter 6, God describes those days to us. He describes, what's kind of happening in those days. Besides the giants, which are hybrids themselves, there's more going on in that text, and the reasoning behind God destroying the earth, because the earth was corrupt. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men. They bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. So first thing we have to understand, in the days of Noah, the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Let's see. I think it's Daniel. The Bible says in Matthew 24 that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So iniquity is going to abound. Wickedness is going to abound in the days of Noah, as it appears in the days of Noah, that iniquity will abound. So wickedness of man is going to be great in the earth. The Bible says that that's going to happen. So number one, the times are marked with wickedness. So we have to understand that the whole earth, the wickedness of man, the wickedness of man is great on the earth. Just like in the days of Noah, the Bible says that iniquity shall abound, that iniquity will be at its height. I'm trying to remember. Let me see if that's it. I cannot remember that text, but I think it's in Daniel. It talks about the iniquity being at its full, at its height. But God looked down and saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Now, that's the first thing. He saw the wickedness of man. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. So in other words, basically what happens, what happened at that time was God, every imagination they had, every thought that they had in their heart was only evil, bent on evil. They didn't just have like fiery darts of the wicked come in. That's not what it's talking about. No, what he's talking, what God is talking about here is that they dwelt on wickedness, that they connived wickedness, that their only thought was wickedness. No, I already read that verse. I already quoted that verse. I'm not talking about, I've already said, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I'm not talking about that verse. I'm talking about another reference. It says something of the fullness of the, not the fullness of the Gentiles, but something about the Amorite and its sin, but I can't remember it right offhand, but I already quoted this verse here. That's not what I'm talking about. But it's that they only thought wickedness in their minds and their hearts. They dwelled on it, only evil continually. That's what it was, only evil continually. Let's check and see if it's Daniel 12:11. Let's see. And from the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, the abomination make desolate shall be set up. There shall be 1,000. Well, that's talking about the abominations, but it also talks about the abomination coming to the fullest. And I cannot remember that verse. Nope, it's not that one, Carl, but that's a good one too. I'll think of it later. Anyway, let's go back to Genesis chapter 6. Before I lose my train of thought and I can't find it. But, so it says that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So man's heart, only evil continually, dwelling on it, staying on it, not getting off of it. That's what it was. Only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. So God was grieved, like he will be in the end times, just like in the days of Noah, when he sees it, as he sees it, it grieves him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air. For it repented me that I have made them, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. The animals didn't sin, but man corrupted the animals, I believe. That's why God destroyed them, because man corrupted them. So what did God do? He found Noah, a man that was perfect in his generations, right? Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. There you go, that's it. That's the verse I was thinking of. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. So the iniquity, sins, abounding, becoming full, the fullness of the Gentiles come in. All those things transpire. Now, so Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was also, so look what he says here. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So the earth was corrupt. Filled with violence. Violence marks the days of Noah. I won't belabor that point for a long time, just because we've talked about it in other studies. But think about the common, what's going on now? What's going on now, though, in the days of Noah? What violence is on the earth? Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. These tearing down of all these statues and this violence of destroying property, shooting people, raping, and all these things happening and taking place. People being killed, little children being killed. The violence of abortion. All the bloodshed on the earth that's going on. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. So all flesh is corrupted. How did they do it? Well, I believe they did it with the giants. They did it with hybrids. They did it with all of those things. I believe those are with chimeras. These hybrid animals. And I believe they did it with those. That's what I believe. A lot of people don't like that type of teaching. But I'm going to tell you what, there's hybrids in the Bible. They come out of, in Revelation chapter 9, they come straight out of the pit. So that's real. That's not made up, and that's not phony. And I think there's a corona conspiracy going on. And I actually believe that they've soft-selled some of this. They've told us some of this, but they haven't really expounded on it, and they've tried to get us to kind of forget about it. And I think it has to do with hybrids, chimeras. I think that's what it has to do with. So, you know, I think that that's what it has to do with, and I think that's the days of Noah. I think we see violence in the earth. We see the corrupting of flesh. I'm going to show you a lot of things. And I'm telling you what, I think there's a lot going on here that we're not being told. And I think that this virus was created. I think it's a chimera virus. I think it's a chimera virus, and I think it was engineered. I think it's real in that sense. I don't know what to think. I don't know about it killing everybody, and I don't know about it. I don't know if it killed everybody, and I think that there's scams going on with it. I think they're lying about the numbers. I think they're trying to frighten people. They never let a good crisis go to waste. So I think that part of it is fake. I think that the reaction to it is a scam, and it's fake, and it's a hoax. But I believe it's been engineered. So let's look at it this way. Let's back up. Is there really a coronavirus? Yeah, there has been for years. Coronavirus is like a, I mean, there's a ton of them. Is there something going, was there something going on in Wuhan? Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. Are some people dying? Yeah, just like they do from the flu and everything else, and SARS and everything else. Is it to the point that they're making it? Absolutely not. It's being used to control people. See, they manufactured the virus. They manufacture the response. They manufacture the outrage. They manufacture everything to make it work like they want it to. To push their New World Order agenda. And we're never really, these are, I'm giving you like some theories here. And the reason I say that is because I can't, I don't know the whole scheme. I'm not, God hasn't revealed that to me. And I don't know that whole thing. And none of us do. But they're using this. So let me go to the, I want to go to this first. Let's look at this first. You know, when you can, when you manufacture something, you create the need, you build the value, and then you And then you use it. Now, you got to be careful though, because Carl, like you're saying, I agree with you, and I probably do for the most part. But I will tell you this: what I don't believe is that nobody's getting sick and nobody's dying. I know people are sick, and I know people die, just like they do from the flu, and they stop reporting flu deaths during the whole thing. And I said that way back then, that that wasn't right and that it was being used. So I was careful in waiting, watching, and determining whether people were going to be deathly ill from this, and it was something they had to be absolutely concerned with. See, an entire hoax doesn't mean everything about it is fake. It doesn't mean nobody's dying. It doesn't mean nobody is sick. It doesn't mean that nobody is there. But it's the manufactured outrage that comes with it. It's the manufactured manipulation that comes with it. I talked about, go back and look at my messages. I talked about how the Antichrist was all over this COVID-19 thing. I said that it was what? I said that it was manipulation. It was fear. It was being used. And that is what they're doing. I want you to look at this article that was May 16th, 2020. But you see, you still have to be careful. And here's why you have to be careful, Carl. Because too many people have lost their integrity by saying everything is a hoax and nothing's real. And if you do that, you lose integrity and credibility pretty quickly. So you got to be careful about that. By the way, yeah, in Florida. Let's see. No, it was Texas. See if we can find it. I saw this. Let's see. Let me go to Ted Cruz's Twitter because he talked about it. Here it is right here. The state of Texas today had to remove 3,484 cases from its COVID-19 positive case count because the San Antonio Health Department was reporting probable cases for people never actually tested as confirmed positive cases. What other departments made the same mistake? See? So here it is. So you have this here. You have also Florida, the same thing, up to 90%. So there's some scamming. China is viewed as a giant test tube for all kinds of dangerous and ethically controversial research. Now, to prove that bats have coronavirus is not hard to prove. To prove that there is a chimera virus, I don't think that's hard to prove either. All the evidence is there. But who knows the great swerve that they did? Who knows the great swerve that they did to try to make you think it was something else? I remember Lindsey Graham coming out and saying, those live wet markets have to be put down. And maybe they do, but that's not where that corona came from. That coronavirus came from that Wuhan lab where they're working on chimeras and they're making chimera viral infections, and they're mixing humans together with monkeys. Recent revelations at the U.S. National Institute of Health has been funding gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology has shown a spotlight on China's controversial research in biomedical sciences. How come anybody can think that here's a virology institute over there in Wuhan and everybody is acting like they weren't working on these things and they didn't cause this? Recent revelations. Okay, the GOF research involves taking a pathogen and altering it to make it more deadly and infectious. And the U.S. government had placed a research moratorium from 2014 to 17 on three potential pandemic pathogens of influenza, Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, or MERS, and Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome, SARS. Not only does China engage in GOF research, it also conducts another controversial experiment, creating human-animal chimeras for vaccines and organ transplants. So what are they doing? They're making some human bat freaks is what they're doing, and they're making viruses out of it. By the way, if any of you out there can get me any information and proof that people never were tested for corona, they'll testify they never were tested for it, but they stood in line and then they got a letter saying they were positive. I would love to have that proof, because I have had about 5 people tell me that took place. If you can get me the proof, I will put it on and I will share it with everybody. Because I would like to, believe me. So here we go. Not only does China engage in the GOF research, it also conducts another controversial experiment, creating human-animal chimeras for vaccines and organ transplants. So here you have Bill Gates, who's chomping at the bit, right, to have a vaccine for this, right, that they already have in the works, you know. And here's the Viral Institute, and Fauci is all for this. Right? You know, Fauci is, he's for all this, right? And, here he is, Fauci, now. Oh, no congregation bars, Fauci said. Well, I don't like bars, so... But the whole point of the matter is, this is just a guy that wants to cause trouble. Anyway, well, he's a Jesuit, is what he is. A little devil. Anyway. Creating human-animal chimeras for vaccines and organ transplants. A chimera is an organism whose cells come from two or more individuals. And the word comes from Greek mythology, which describes a creature that was part lion, part goat, and part snake. Because of more stringent regulations on public health and bioethics in the U.S. and other Western countries, American and European scientists tend to outsource GOF and chimeric research to China, where it does not face such restrictions. So, you know, the Chinese government came out and said, well, it was U.S. soldiers. Well, I think they're all working together. You know, I think they're all working together. That's what I think. For example, when Chinese Academy of Science Kunming Institute of Zoology created the first human monkey chimera in July 2019, the project was led by Spanish scientist Professor Juan Carlos Espucia Belmonte from the American Salk Institute in San Diego, in collaboration with the Murcia Catholic University in Murcia, Spain. Hey, let's look at that. Let's look at that one. Here's their Wikipedia. Probably a Jesuit campus is probably what it is. More than likely. But here you have on this Catholic university, right? In this Catholic university, you've got them working on a Chinese virus or on a chimera, right? Working on a chimera. Let's see. Did I get the end of that? Yep. Okay. This report was published in the Spanish newspaper El País, revealing the research was conducted in China to avoid legal issues. In the U.S., the NIH bans federal funding to create human monkey embryos, while in Canada, putting non-human stem cells into human embryos is a criminal offense under the Assisted Human Reproductions Act. China is thus viewed as a dumping ground and giant test tube for all kinds of dangerous and ethically controversial research outlawed by Western countries, similar to how it became a dumping ground for recyclable waste in the past decades. Not only has this team of Spanish, American, and Chinese scientists created a human monkey chimera, but Professor Belmonte also created a human pig embryo in the past. Last December, a team of scientists in Beijing brought to term a pig monkey chimera. Scientists see chimeras as a potential way to address the shortage of organs, such as kidneys, livers, and heart transplants, and believe organs genetically matched to a particular human recipient could one day be grown inside animals. The approach is based on taking human cells and reprogramming them to become stem cells, which are introduced into embryos of another species. Okay. So basically, what is it always the way that they do? The same way Elon Musk does here. Look what Elon Musk says here. Because this transhumanism, it has an impact, right? What does Elon Musk say? He says, look, his brain chip will cure depression and addiction. So it's always for the better that we have to do this. So he's on the other spectrum of transhumanism, right? One is on hybridization. The other one is transhumanism. He claims that his Neuralink brain-computer interface could cure depression and addiction. The Independent reports that Tesla and SpaceX CEO Elon Musk claims that his new brain-computer chip startup company, Neuralink, will be able to cure mental issues such as depression and addiction. Musk founded Neuralink in 2016 after receiving $158 million in funding and claimed in a 2019 presentation that the company had developed a sewing machine-like device that could connect brains directly to computers. On August 28th, Musk plans to reveal more information about Neuralink. One Twitter user named Prana Patel asked Musk what device capabilities could be expected, asking, can Neuralink be used to retrain the part of the brain which is responsible for causing addiction or depression? It'd be great if Neuralink can be used for something like addiction, depression. Musk replied, for sure. This is both great and terrifying. Everything we've ever sensed or thought has been electrical signals. The early universe was just a soup of quarks and leptons. How did a very small piece of universe start to think of itself as sentient? You wicked devil, you. In 2019, Musk claimed that Neuralink can solve schizophrenia and autism. Look at the rash of autism probably caused by most vaccines, for the most part. Not all autism, but vaccines or the inherited effects of vaccines, right? So, now they can heal it with... You just get this chip implanted in your brain. Can solve schizophrenia and autism. During an appearance on Artificial Intelligence podcast with Lex Fridman in November 2019, Musk was asked what he believes the most exciting effects of his company's Neuralink technology will be. Musk replied, so Neuralink, I think, at first will solve a lot of brain-related diseases. So it could be anything from like autism, schizophrenia, memory loss. Like everyone experiences memory loss at certain points in age. Parents can't remember their kids' names and that kind of thing. Autism is not a disease that can be cured. It's a developmental disorder. Disability. The UK National Autistic Society states autism is not an illness or disease and cannot be cured. Often people feel being autistic is a fundamental aspect of their identity. Similarly, schizophrenia is not a disease, but is classified by the World Health Organization as a severe mental disorder. Early versions of the Neuralink system have reported being tested on animals, and human trials are expected to take place this year. Musk reportedly hopes that the device will help humans achieve symbiosis with artificial intelligence. Symbiosis. During an appearance on the Joe Rogan Experience podcast, who is a stinking Satanist wicked devil, you wouldn't need to talk. You would be able to communicate very quickly and with far more precision. Let's see. Somebody asked me about an update on Peter 2.0. And the last one. I don't see a... The last update was November 11th. I don't see any new updates on Peter 2.0 yet. So maybe it's not working as well as he thought it was. Let's see. Oh, July 8th, he says. Here he is right here. After many months' delay, thanks to COVID-19, Channel 4 has just revealed that one of its autumn highlights, it is the one-hour documentary about me titled Peter the Human Guinea Pig by Wonderful Cardiff Productions, currently scheduled to be aired in August. So, that was July 8th. Here's June 21st. I mean... He looks like a stinking zombie. He doesn't even look real, does he? That's him, though. So here's his, again, here's his Twitter page. On the verbal spontaneity research of the Scott Morgan Foundation, it's their submission. Okay, so that's that. That's him right there. So there it is. Let's see here. Hang on 1 second. Let's see. It says Peter 2.0 versus COVID-19, the youngest 45 to die from coronavirus in the UK. Had officially, I'm now very high risk. In theory, my cyborg replumbing blocks some key infection routes and changes what may then happen. In practice, no one knows. So it's a great experiment. What a weirdo. Anyway, that's him right there. So, he continues on his way there. So, we'll keep up to date on what's going on with him, but he definitely fits the description of, the crazy stuff that's going on with the chimeras. You know, it's kind of like that. It's kind of like that. That the hybridization of the human and the android together, it's the same thing. I mean, it's transhumanism. It's going to the next level. Anyway, so many have been skeptical of Musk's claims, however, such as linguist philosopher Noam Chomsky, who questioned whether it would be possible to communicate using only thoughts. Developing methods by which, if I'm thinking of moving my hand, you might be able to pick up the electrical signals that say he's trying to move his hand. That's conceivable, Chomsky told the website in Verse. He added, trying to find out what I'm thinking, let's say there's no way of developing technology because we don't understand how to proceed. Well, we'll see about that. Anyway, but here's what they were doing, right? So here's the back to the danger of these animal human chimeras that they were using over in Wuhan. So their report was published by the Spanish newspaper El País, revealing the research was conducted trying to avoid legal issues. In 2019, Chinese researchers inserted the monkey embryos of a human gene critical for human brain development. Some scientists proposed humanizing large portions of the monkey brain, such as the hippocampus, to be entirely human-derived in order to study human neurological disorders that you put in. However, this raises many ethical questions, given that the brain is the center of cognition and reflection. For example, should the human-animal hybrid develop a human-like nervous system capable of consciousness? At what point, then, does the chimeric brain become less monkey and more human? However, this raises many ethical questions, as they say, as Dr. Judy Ills, professor of neurology and Canada research chair in neuroethics at the University of British Columbia, asked, why humanize a monkey? If that's what we need to do, if that's justified scientifically, then we just need to be doing the experiments on humans. We don't need to do it on a humanized monkey. So, nonetheless, chimeric research seems to be gaining traction, not only for organ transplants and studying diseases, but also for developing vaccines. In 2017, Portuguese researchers created a chimera virus, a mouse virus with the human viral gene, that enabled them to investigate new ways to treat cancer caused by human herpes virus infection. Human viruses are also cultured on animal cells to help produce vaccines. Scientists are also looking to human-animal chimeras with a humanized immune system to test vaccines. For example, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has funded a project at Peking University through its Grand Challenges in Global Health initiative to develop a humanized chimeric mouse model to develop vaccines for the human immunodeficiency virus, HIV, and hepatitis C. So you wonder why Bill Gates is pushing the vaccine so hard and those other things? Well, because it's his business. It's what he does. This grafting of man and beast to combine their DNA more closely and the emerging of different species to the study diseases through GOF or chimeric research is also advancing the One Health initiative that seeks to produce a cross-species vaccine for both human and animals. The cross-species approach is to advance human vaccine research for the benefit of veterinarian vaccines and vice versa, with researchers collaborating to unlock shared biological mechanisms underlying disease immunity, thereby accelerating the design and development of vaccines across species. However, in the aftermath of COVID-19, one shudders to think what would happen should these monster germs and chimeras escape from the labs. Or did they already? Did they already? Have they already? That's the question. I think we know the answer to that. I think we pretty much already know the answer to that, don't we? We pretty much know that that's the case, that that's what they did. Okay. So this article was written in 2015, and they added in March 2020, they added an editor's note. Just so you wouldn't do your research without their predictive programming to shade the real evidence. Here we go. This was written in November 12th, 2015. Editor's note, we are aware that this story is being used as the basis for unverified theories that the novel coronavirus COVID-19 was engineered. There is no evidence that this is true. Scientists believe that an animal is the most likely source of the coronavirus. You mean like the chimera one? An experiment, now this is back in 2015, so go back in the Wayback Machine and understand this is 2015. An experiment that created a hybrid version of a bat coronavirus once related to the virus that causes SARS, severe acute respiratory syndrome, has triggered renewed debate over whether engineering lab variants of viruses with possible pandemic potential is worth the risk. In an article published in Natural Medicine on November 9, 2015, scientists investigate a virus called the SHCO14, which is found in horseshoe bats in China. The researchers create a chimeric virus made up of a surface protein of SHCO14 and the backbone of a SARS virus that had been adapted to grow in mice and to mimic human disease. The chimera infected human airway cells, proving that the surface protein was the necessary structure to bind to a key receptor on the cells and to infect them. It also caused disease in mice, but did not kill them. Although almost all coronaviruses isolated from bats have not been able to bind to the key human receptor, SHC014 is not the first that can do it. In 2013, researchers reported this ability for the first time in different coronavirus isolated from the same bat population. The finding reinforces suspicions that bat coronaviruses capable of directly infecting humans rather than first needing to evolve in an intermediate animal host, may be more common than previously thought, the researchers say. But other virologists question whether the information gleaned from the experiment justifies the potential risk. Although the extent of any risk is difficult to assess, Simon Wayne Hobson, a virologist at the Pasteur Institute in Paris, points out that the researchers have created a novel virus that grows remarkably well in human cells. If the virus escaped, nobody could predict the trajectory, he says. This is 5 years ago, 2015. Right? 5 years ago. Right? So you're talking 5 years. The latest study was already under creation of chimeras. The argument is essentially a rerun of the debate over whether to allow lab research to increase the virulence, ease of spread of host range of dangerous pathogens, what is known as gain-of-function research. In October 2014, the U.S. government imposed a moratorium on federal funding of such research on the viruses that cause SARS, influenza, and MERS, Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, as a deadly disease caused by a virus that sporadically jumps from camels to people. Right. So we're supposed to believe that all this was just some grand accident. The latest study was already underway before the U.S. moratorium began, and the U.S. National Institute of Health allowed it to proceed while it was under review by the agency, since Ralph Barrick, an infectious disease researcher at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, a co-author of the study, the NIH eventually concluded that the work was not so risky as to fall under the moratorium, he said. But Wayne Hobson disapproves of the study because he says it provides little benefit and reveals little about the risk that the wild SHC014 virus in bats poses to humans. Other experiments in the study show that the virus in wild bats would need to evolve to pose any threat to humans. A change that may never happen, although it cannot be ruled out. Barrick and his team reconstructed the wild virus from its genome sequence and found that it grew poorly in human cells and caused no significant disease in mice. The only impact of this work in the creation in a lab is the creation in a lab of a new non-natural risk, agrees Richard Ebright, a molecular biologist and biodefense expert at Rutgers University in Piscataway, New Jersey. Both Ebert and Wayne Hobson are longstanding critics of gain-of-function research. In their paper, the study authors also concede that funders may think twice about allowing such experiments in the future. Scientific review panels may deem similar studies building chimeric viruses based on circulating strains too risky to pursue, they write, adding that discussion is needed as to whether these types of chimeric virus studies warrant further investigations versus their inherent risks involved. But Barrick and others say the research did have benefits. The study findings moved this virus from a candidate emerging pathogen to a clear present danger, says Peter Daszak, who co-authored the 2013 paper. Daszak is president of the EcoHealth Alliance, an international network of scientists headquartered in New York City that samples viruses from animals and people in emerging disease hotspots across the globe. Studies testing hybrid viruses in human cell cultures and animal models are limited in what they can say about the threat posed by a wild virus, Daszak agrees, but he argues that they can help indicate with which pathogens should be prioritized for further research attention. Without the experiment, says Barrick, the SHC014 virus would still be seen as a not a threat. Previously, scientists have believed on the basis of molecular modeling and other studies that it should not be able to infect human cells. The latest work shows that the virus has already overcome critical barriers, such as being able to latch onto human receptors and efficiently infect human airway cells, he says. I don't think you could ignore that. He plans to do further studies with the virus of non-human primates, which may yield data more relevant to humans. Well, I agree, Elizabeth Daniels. I agree with that. And as you look at the information, you can clearly see that they've been doing this stuff forever. With SARS, with all of it. Here's another one. Coronavirus could be a chimera of two different viruses, genome analysis suggests. Well, that's not something they talk about, is it? In the space of a few weeks, we have all learned a lot about COVID-19. This was written March 24th, 2020. And the viruses that cause it, SARS-CoV-2. But there have also been a lot of rumors. And while the number of scientific articles on this virus is increasing, there are still many gray areas to its origins. In which animal species did it occur? A bat, a pangolin, or another wild species? Where does it come from? From a cave or a forest in the Chinese province of Hubei or elsewhere? In December 2019, 27 of the first 41 people hospitalized, 66% passed through a market located in the heart of Wuhan City in Hubei Province. But according to a study conducted at Wuhan Hospital, the very first human case identified did not frequent this market. Instead, a molecular dating estimate based on the SARS-CoV-2 genomic sequences indicates an origin in November. This raises questions about the link between COVID-19 epidemic and wildlife. The SARS-CoV-2 genome was rapidly sequenced by Chinese researchers. It is an RNA molecule of about 30,000 bases containing 15 genes, including the S gene, which codes for a protein located on the surface of the viral envelope. For comparison, our genome is in the form of a double helix of DNA, about 3 billion bases in size. It contains about 30,000 genes. Comparative genomic analysis have shown that SARS-CoV-2 belongs to the group of beta coronaviruses, and that it is very close to SARS-CoV, responsible for an epidemic of acute pneumonia, which appeared in November 2002 in the Chinese province of Guangdong. I think that's how you say it. Guangdong. And then spread to 29 countries in 2003. A total of 8,098 cases were recorded, including 774 deaths. It is known that bats of the genus Rhinolophus, potentially several case species, were the reservoir of the virus, and that a small carnivore, the palm civet, may have served as an intermediate host between bats and the first human cases. Since then, the beta coronavirus have been discovered mainly in bats, but also in humans. For example, RATG13, isolated from a bat of the species Rhinolophilus affinis, collected in China's Yunnan province, whichever that is, has recently been described as very similar to SARS-CoV-2, with genome sequences identical to 96%. These results indicate that bats, and in particular species of the genus Rhinolophus, constitute the reservoir of the SARS-CoV and SARS-CoV-2 viruses. I'm not going to bore you with all the details. But what are they saying here? They've been working on chimera viruses, and they let one loose on people. I mean, they're not directly saying that. But boy, that evidence sure does point to it. So here was one in an article written in 2015 again at that time. So that's 5 years ago, right? Here's another one. A SARS-like cluster of circulating bat coronaviruses shows potential for human emergence. Cross-species contamination. Transmission events leading to outbreaks in humans. So basically what they're saying is that, oh, there's the SHC014. So they told us it was possible. And we know that we know over there in Wuhan they're doing bat coronavirus testings. And then, boom, all these people get sick over there. We also know that there was some backdoor funding to these organizations and these groups to do these testings. So, I'm not going to read you the whole article because it'll drive you batty. No pun intended. But suffice it to say, they've been messing around with this stuff for a while. These are the days of Noah. As the days of Noah, these are the days that the Lord told us about, that they would come. Violence and evil and other things. Here's another one. Japan approves first human animal embryo experiments last year. Japan approves first human animal embryo experiments. Japanese stem cell scientist is the first to receive government support to create human embryos that contain human cell or animal embryos that contain human cells and transplant them into surrogate animals since a ban on the practice was overturned earlier this year. They're doing it all over the place. University of Tokyo. University of California plans to grow human cells in mouse and rat embryos and then transplant these human embryos into surrogate animals. Nakauchis. I don't know, something like that. Ultimate goal is to produce animals with organs made of human cells that can eventually be transplanted into people. Until March, Japan explicitly forbade the growth of animal embryos containing human cells beyond 14 days. Remember what the Bible says? Remember what the Bible said? It says all flesh had corrupted itself before the Lord. All flesh was corrupted. All flesh was corrupted. What are they doing now? They're corrupting flesh. They're doing it on purpose. They're doing it because what they're trying to do is build that perfect creature. And the only thing that's missing probably between the animal and hybrid group is going to be Elon Musk's Neuralink. That's going to factor, those types of things are going to factor into that to create these chimeras. These hybrids. They're going to do something with all that, probably. That's my guess. Something digitally is going to have to take place between the animal and the humans. Because they're trying to prove evolution. That's what they're trying to do. Ethical concerns. Some bioethicists are concerned about the possibility that human cells might stray beyond development of the targeted organ, travel to the developing animal's brain, and potentially affect its cognition. We are trying to do targeted organ generation so the cells go only to the pancreas. Right. What possibly could go wrong? What possibly could go wrong? The strategy that he and other scientists are exploring is to create an animal embryo that lacks gene necessary for the production of a certain organ, such as pancreas, and then to inject human-induced pluripotent stem cells into the animal embryo. iPS cells are those that have been reprogrammed to an embryonic-like state and can give rise to almost all cell types. As the animal develops, it uses the human iPS cells to make the organ, which it cannot make it with its own cells. Okay. So there you go. Japan working on that. Human, I talked about this years ago. Scientists hope the chimera embryos represent key steps toward life-saving lab-grown organs. In a remarkable, if likely controversial feat, scientists announced that they have created the first successful human-animal embryos, human-animal hybrids. The project proves that human cells can be introduced into a non-human organism, survive, and even grow inside a host animal, in this case, pigs. The biomedical advance has long been a dream and quandary for scientists hoping to address a critical shortage of donor organs. See, they always make it out to be like, but we're doing it for the best. We're We're doing it the best. We're doing it for people. We're doing it for your health. Right? That's why they're doing it. They're doing it for your own good. All right. The biomedical advance has long been a dream. What if rather than relying on a generous donor, you could grow a custom organ inside an animal instead? What big business would that be? I mean, if someone needed a kidney or a liver, you just grow it in the pig. Right? And then you charge $500,000 for the liver transplant and $30,000 for the liver that you grew in some animal. That's how they're going to sell it. Well, you don't want all those people to die of kidney and liver failure, do you? That's now one step closer to reality. An international team of researchers led by Salk Institute reports in the journal Cell. The team created what's known scientifically as a chimera, an organism that contains cells from two different species. In the past, human-animal chimeras have been beyond reach. Such experiments are currently ineligible for public funding in the United States. So for that, Salk team has relied on private donors for the chimera project. Public opinion, too, has hampered the creation of organisms that are part human, part animals. But for lead study author Jun Wu of Salk Institute, we need only to look to mythical chimeras like human hybrids we know as angels for a different perspective. In ancient civilizations, chimeras were associated with God, he says, and our ancestors thought the chimeric form can guard humans. In a sense, that's what the team hopes human-animal hybrids will one day do. Oh my goodness! Think about that. That's who they are, the Salk Institute. Immune system biology, infectious disease. This is what they're into. They want to regenerate your cells. Yeah. Building a chimera. There are two ways to make a chimera. The first is to introduce the organs of one animal into another, a risky proposition, because the host immune system may cause the organ to be rejected. The other method is to begin at the embryonic level, introducing one animal's cells into an embryo of another and letting them grow together into a hybrid. It sounds weird, but it's an ingenious way to eventually solve a number of vexing biological problems with lab-grown organs. When scientists discovered stem cells, the master cells that can produce any kind of body tissue, they seem to contain infinite scientific promise. But convincing those cells to grow into the right kinds of tissues and organs is difficult. Well, Belmonte here, a professor of the Salk Institute Gene Expression Laboratory, thought the concept of using host embryo to grow organs seemed straightforward enough. However, it took Espuzua and more than 40 collaborators 4 years to figure out how to make human-animal chimeras. To do this, the team piggybacked off of prior chimera research conducted on mice and rats. Other scientists already figured out how to grow the pancreatic tissue of a rat inside a mouse. The Salk-led group took the concept one step further using the genome editing tool called CRISPR. CRISPR. They used CRISPR to rewrite the DNA. The Salk-led group took the concept. They took CRISPR to hack into the mouse's blastocyst, the precursor of the embryos. There, they deleted genes that mice need to grow certain organs. When they introduced rat stem cells capable of producing those organs, those cells flourished. Oh! In comes CRISPR. So you have chimeras, CRISPR, you have Elon Musk's Neuralink, and then you have this virus floating around. The team then took the stem cells from rats and injected them into pigs. This version failed, not surprisingly, since rats and pigs have dramatically different gestation times and evolutionary ancestors. But pigs have a notable similarity to humans. Though they take less time to gestate, their organs look a lot like ours. Is that because of evolution? No, it's because they have the same designer. Not that these similarities made the task any easier, the team discovered that in order to introduce human cells into pigs without killing them, they had to get the timing just right. You know why? Because God didn't make them like that. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind. Then all flesh had corrupted itself before the Lord. And God said, and they went in into Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. Why did God, two and two, male and female, get them in there? Of each kind, get them in there. After their kinds. Why did he do that? He did that because Noah was going to take things that weren't corrupted. Noah had to bring in the animals that were not corrupted. That's why. That's what happened. Noah had to bring in those animals that their flesh had not been corrupted by other things. Each had to be after its kind, right? Because that's the way God made them. He didn't make animals and man to mingle together. God made man differently. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Many inventions. Isn't that something? Breathed is four times. 1, 2, 3, 4 in the King James Bible. Look at the first time. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You want to see something really cool? Look at this. After Jesus rose from the dead, he went to his apostles, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. The breath of God. The perfect and permanent indwelling of the Spirit. In John chapter 20. See that? There was the first birth. Here's the second. First, second. You'll not make it out of this life with, you'll not make it to into the Lord's eternity, into all, into the Lord's glory, into heaven with just this breath. No, no. You need this one. You need this breath. Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. See the difference? And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Look what it says here. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. God made him different. God did not make him the same as his other creatures. God formed man with his own hands out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Marvel not that you must be born again. Here's Jesus, God in the flesh. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. First time it's used, the first birth. The fourth time it's used is the second birth. That number four is the spirit. That's the spirit world. Number four. That's the spirit world. See that? Here's another example of this. In Ezekiel. Wow, bones is 99 times in the Bible. That's interesting. And he said unto me, son of man, shall these bones live? Can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said to me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So what happened? The four winds came. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, and breathe upon these slain, and they that they may live. Pastor Hogger taught a long time ago, the four winds are the four gospels. They come in with a rushing and mighty wind, right? They come in and they save them. It's also a picture of Israel because it's talking about Israel where they come into the country dead. They come back into Israel and they're returned to Israel. They are dead men's bones. But the four winds of the gospel come in and breathe life into them. Same gospel you get saved with. Okay. We tried three different types of human cells, essentially representing three different times in the developmental process, explains June Wu, a Salk Institute scientist and the paper's first author. Through trial and error, they learned that naive pluripotent cells, stem cells with unlimited potential, didn't survive as well as ones that had developed a bit more. When those just right human cells were injected into pig embryos, the embryos survived. Then they were put into adult pigs, which carried the embryos for between 3 and 4 weeks before they were removed and analyzed. In all, the team created 186 latter stage chimeric embryos that survived, and we estimated each had about 100,000 human cells. So here they go. The technique could be put to use much sooner as a way to study human embryo development and understate disease, and those real-time insights could be just as valuable as the ability to grow an organ. Anyway, there you go. There it is. And that's what's going on. Now, something to think about for sure, right? But we see a lot of evidence, right? A lot of evidence for some crazy things. And we could go on and on with this, but I think we'll stop now. But God made things perfect. God made things after its own kind. God doesn't want that mixing and hybridization. That's what happened in the days of Noah. That's what happened with the giants. That's what happened with sin, and God destroyed the earth. And he's going to do it again by fire. So I hope you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, because he is the only way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by him. All right, everybody. Keep us in your prayers. And more stuff to come this weekend. We'll probably be uploading more sermons and all that good stuff. Pray for us. Pray the Lord blesses us and meets our needs. And continue to pray for our finances and continue to pray for the work that we're doing for the Lord here and gospel and opportunities to preach out in the street, because it's really crazy with this COVID stuff. It's really changed a lot of things. Minneapolis is not a good place to go right now. Not a good place at all. So anyway, but, you know, we preached a few weeks ago in other places. We're going to be preaching again and see what the Lord will allow. But you keep praying for us. Thank you for those that have given. Also, thank you for those that are praying. Thank you for those that have given to our ministry. I appreciate it. I'm very grateful for it. And I thank God for it. And I thank God for you. And keep praying for my wife as she's with child. And pray for our church. And pray for one another. That the Lord would continue to bless, guide, and direct. All right? Anyway, I got a full day ahead of me, so I got to get moving. But God bless you all. And you take care. And have a good night and a good weekend here. And get something done for the Lord. Amen. This weekend. God bless you all.